Well, see, tonight I'm back to reality. Here we go. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Got some traveling we want to do tonight and bring us into summation of what we did last week and move on from that point. But it is very important that we grasp where we were last week. So let's begin with a word of prayer. What's the prayer about? Well, people, you're getting ready to do the most dangerous thing you'll ever do in your life, and that's to open up the Bible. There's nothing more dangerous because it can be seen in so many different ways. And so let's prepare ourselves and trust in the Spirit to open our eyes. He's the teacher. And trust Him to cause us to see what He would have us to see. Let's pray. What a privilege it is, Heavenly Father, to open the Scriptures, to allow Your Spirit to take us on the journey of what's going on, and especially tonight, Heavenly Father, will we orient to ourselves and to loving one another as Christ has loved us. This will make great demands on our lives at times, Heavenly Father, to love one another and to treat them with the love we have been loved from Christ. We pray, Father, that the Spirit will take the passages that we're looking at, cause them to become a reality in our soul and in our lives, and affect the very way we live day in and day out. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, just please remember, chapter 2 is the primary subject of chapter 2, God the Holy Spirit, teaching the spiritual person that we are. Therefore, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 ends with the phrase in verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. And you'll recall that both from context and from the passages quoted from in Isaiah, that the mind of Christ is God the Holy Spirit. We have the mind of Christ, if you have in this hand, the Scriptures. And the Scriptures are what we want to understand. Well, we're going to have to understand them. So what is going to be over here is going to help us that we have, and that's the Holy Spirit. Some people understand that to mean Scripture. Well, it's the Scripture in context that we want to understand. So if I don't understand this, and then over here I have what I don't understand, that's not going to help me. So what we have is, here's what I want to understand in the spiritual man. So He's given to us the Holy Spirit that we can understand the spiritual things of God in our spiritual person. Now, as we move into chapter 2, please remember now, and I'll not go over to the degree that will be heavy, but please remember there are two beings inside of us. There are two beings inside. Bill, that's Quran. If you get out of line, she'll just whack you. We have inside of us two natures. We have inside of us the flesh nature. A lot of you got tired last, even in one, just in one lesson of Sarkakos and Sarkanos, okay? But here we have inside of us the flesh nature, and we also have the spiritual man. Now, what happens to the spiritual self? And this is the real you. This is the real you, the new spiritual creation that we are in Jesus Christ. But we have inside of us the flesh nature, and it always wants to rule, and it wants to take over. Now, what we're studying is spiritual love, loving one another as Christ has loved us. We've seen that love is long-suffering. You are not long-suffering, love is. Love is kind. Now we're looking at the phrase, love envieth not, or love is not jealous. Now, what is jealousy? Jealousy is the immune system. It is the immune system of the flesh itself. This is what jealousy is. Therefore, spiritual love cannot be jealous because spiritual love has nothing to do with the flesh nature. It has to do with the spiritual nature. So, this is what jealousy is. What is the source? What is the source of jealousy? The source of jealousy is our flesh nature. And therefore, when someone else is complimented, someone else is praised, someone else is rewarded, somebody else is getting something, the flesh self, anytime you're jealous, and it just shoots into you like a, you don't even expect it sometimes. Pow! There it is. Well, all you need to know is, don't worry about it. Yeah, I don't mean don't worry about it, but don't think of it just as a sin. Understand where you are. I am in the flesh nature, because that's where jealousy comes from. And so there's your clue to get back over in the spirit-filled life in the new man that you are in Christ. So we have these two natures, and this is going to become very important in our study of stress, depression, becoming who you are in Jesus Christ, who you are over here. It's a shame that a lot of times we live our Christian lives over here instead of over here. We try to clean out the old man. We try to clean up jealousy and work on jealousy and all of that. People, you can't clean it out. You can't. You can't control it. This is what the flesh does. What you can do, though, is get over here and live in the new man, who you are in Christ. Don't try to make this one better. We have to function over here. And so we study these two natures that are inside of us. Now, when you as a Christian, a new spiritual creature, get over here, this is not who you are, because you are now in Christ, so this is not who you are. This is who you are, but what you do when you're over here, you resemble the flesh nature of the unbeliever. You resemble him. That's what our word meant last week. Talking about you resemble the flesh. And the reason you resemble it is because this is who you really are. You really are the new creation in Christ. And it's a shame that a lot of Christians don't live here. They live over here. And they let the flesh rule. They're guided by the flesh rather than being guided by the spiritual. Okay, that brings us into our study and the source of all of this. So let's quickly read chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and then we'll look at verse 3 and move on. I just wanted a little review to bring us up to where we were a week ago and dealing with Sarkinas and Sarkikas, and we'll come back to, if not the words, we'll come back to at least the concepts, because they're very important in stress, depression, so many of the things that so many people go through in our society, in their marriages, childhood, I'm sorry to say, all these kinds of things. And I, brethren, so we're dealing with believers, chapter 3, verse 1, could not speak to you as spiritual. Okay, that's over here. That's who you are. I could not speak to you as you really are. And people, that's very discouraging. When you want to give somebody so much, I guess a wonderful way to look at it, because it's rich, you have a little baby, And you love the baby, but boy, I got so much I want to give her. I want to take the baby here, and I want to take the baby there. Or if you're this kind of a father, I want to give it the football, and the football's bigger than the infant. But boy, you're ready to give it a football and do this and do that. You want so much, they're not able. They're not able. So you've got to bring them. So he says, I cannot speak to you as over here, but as to men resembling the flesh. And that's very important, again, that we get where all these words are. As to babes in Christ, I gave you milk to drink. In other words, I gave you some beginning truths that you could start building on, walking in the Spirit by faith, these kinds of things, view of God, covenant we work under, not solid food. Now, that's where you really start growing and understanding some of the truth. By the way, food, again, very important analogy that God has picked up. Why? Because we understand that in the flesh nature. Food, God has used, because we understand how important food is to our being. And so he uses that a lot through Scripture. Solid food, for you were not able to receive it, because you resemble the flesh. You're not flesh, you resemble the flesh. You're not able to receive it, indeed, even now you are not yet able. Now let's start our study tonight in verse 3. For since there is jealousy, for you are still fleshly. Now, the word fleshly, if you want to keep with what we did last week, which is very important, that is sarkikos. And that means to resemble the flesh. of the unbeliever. You're not an unbeliever, but you resemble him. You're not the unbeliever, but you resemble the unbeliever. You make decisions like the unbeliever. You act like an unbeliever. You think like an unbeliever. So, you resemble it. You are a still fleshly, sarcotos. Now, if you are here in the flesh, guess what? There is no Holy Spirit working, and therefore there is no spiritual love. Therefore, guess what? It opens a tailgate for jealousy. Because love is not jealous. So if I'm here, that means the Holy Spirit's not here functioning, and that means that I'm not receiving His power. I'm not receiving what? His gifts, His fruit. I'm not receiving His love. So therefore, the gate is open wide for jealousy to come in to the flesh person. But if I'm over here, then I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit, and He pours in this love, and love will not permit jealousy. It will not permit it. Okay. For since, therefore, you are still fleshly, or resembling the flesh, is the best way if you write in the Bible, resembling the flesh, therefore no spiritual love. Now, look what he immediately goes to. For since, this is the first thing he says now. For since there is jealousy and strife among you. Now, for since among you. People, I'm not going to take the time in this study because our study is spiritual love. Our study is love envieth not, or love is not jealous. The first negative. But jealousy is very important in the whole plan, or in the whole system of Satan and his schemes. Jealousy, he was so jealous of the human race in the garden. He was jealous of what God was doing. He was jealous of God, of the place that God had over all these creatures. He looked out, here's God, here all the creation, and if we could picture Lucifer standing back, this great and shining one, the seal of perfection of God's creation, creative ability, and he sees this and he became jealous. He became jealous of the relationship that God has with his creation. And so that jealousy from his arrogance, and that's why in a few minutes we're going to have, not a few minutes, but in a few more of these, love is not arrogant. And that's on the inside. And we're going to study arrogance. But why does he mention jealousy even before the arrogance? Because people, that is so powerful. What jealousy will do, it will destroy you, people. It is the immune system of the flesh person, but it will destroy the flesh person. It will destroy him. It is that powerful. So this is what Satan has done all the way through, and that's all I really want to say tonight. But if we were going to study the spiritual warfare of the prehistoric world, this is what we'd have to deal with, is this jealousy of being jealous of God and his position with the creation. And then when God created man, and that was angels, and then when God created this lowly little creature, just this lowly little scummy creature called mankind, born of a woman, just everything nasty, low, he's still jealous. He was jealous of man's relationship with God in the garden, and God's relationship with man, became jealous of it. And so this is such the groundwork of jealousy all the way through. So it's the first thing mentioned in what love is not, and it's the first thing mentioned here in resembling the flesh. The flesh is going to be jealous. All that has to happen is for somebody to succeed, or even you perceive them as succeeding, and jealousy pops in. Or you have to perceive that somebody is better looking, somebody is better this, somebody's getting this, somebody, even it can just be a compliment. It can be just a compliment. And if you're in the flesh, yeah, hey, what about me? What about me? Me. You know, I'm here. And so it comes in. People, it's vicious. We'll have more to say on that in a little bit, but I just want you to get a feel of what's going on in the text. For since among you, now here's what I want you to see. This is in the assembly. This is not in the business world. This is not at the gym. This is not at the swimming pool. This is in the assembly. Jealousy. among you. For sins among you. Not just in the sense of in you, but among you. The local church at Corinth. At the local assembly of believers. And they had good Bible teaching. They had all the spiritual gifts. They had all the spiritual gifts necessary. But what I get for some spiritual gifts here? Spiritual gift of singing and leading. Those kind of spiritual gifts that just bring the flock and the assembly together. They had them all. They had knowledge. We know that. They had even some production. But they did not have spiritual love. And therefore, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, they had nothing. They had nothing. You have the greatest spiritual gift, but if you do not have love, you have nothing. You have all the knowledge of Scripture, and you do not have love. You have nothing. So, this is, if you give even to the point where you become poor, but do not have love, profits you nothing. So, everything here is so important. For since among you in the assembly, people, when they came to worship, the Corinthians, I love them, and yet at the same time, they're the worst bunch of people you could ever imagine. But you just gotta kind of like them. They're just really unbelievable type of people. This is where, remember, Corinth, this is the same church, just to keep you in tune with where we are. This is the same church that when they came for communion, they got drunk. And Paul didn't say anything about booze and beer or wine being there. He said, drink at home. Very important what he said and what he didn't say. Very important how he handled all of this. Come on in. So the Corinthians are just an unbelievable group of people. Just unbelievable. So they got drunk at communion. And not only that, you recall that at communion, there was some who would bring some really good food. They wouldn't share it with anybody. Hey, if we brought ours, you eat what you brought. Well, we didn't have anything to bring. Well, sorry about that. This is ours. But like if somebody on our communion Sunday here, hey, wait a minute, I brought this. That's for my family here at this table. Well, it isn't for everybody. And that's the way the Corinthians were. And they were extremists, too, because, first of all, they allowed the believer who was involved with incest, and then Paul says that's not bad, so they go to the extreme, they kick him out and have nothing to do with him. So Paul has to write in 2 Corinthians, whoa, you did that wrong. You don't go to extremes on these things. But the Corinthians are just an unbelievable group of people, and right in the assembly, jealousy. For since among you, in the assembly, jealousy. And it's the word that we're studying. Love is not jealous. The 1 Corinthians 13 is a lot. Now, where does it come from? It comes from the flesh. Sark, the flesh. The two natures inside of us. And the nature that breeds jealousy is the flesh. This is one of the reasons we have spiritual love, people. It's one of the reasons we have spiritual love as an immune system to protect you from all of this kind of thing. But when jealousy sets in, jealous of somebody's gift, jealous of somebody's prominence, all that has to happen is somebody to prosper. And jealousy is going to come in somewhere. In the local assembly. We don't even have to follow them anywhere else. They're jealous of each other in the assembly. And that lets you know, people, there's a great problem going on. And this is the source of these things. Okay. Notice what comes from jealousy, especially within a local church. And strife. They go together. Jealousy and strife. See? There's strife among you. This is the environment of jealousy. This is the environment of envy. It's going to cause strife, people. You're jealous of someone. Watch this, how this goes now. Here's the local assembly. They have a local church. And here's the local assembly. And believer A over here. I don't care what it is. It just is amazing. Spiritual gift, prospered in some way, functions in the church some way, whatever it might be, and believer B over here is jealous, and so therefore, believer B goes over here to these other believers and starts causing strife with believer A. Believer A doesn't even know what's going on. Doesn't even know what's going on, and pretty soon, and then some of the other believers come over here and they get on A side, and the believers get over here, and what do we have? We have strife in the assembly. A strife in the assembly. Just like I remember the Greek story, may even have it in my notes, but later on, but there's a Greek story of the gods and the goddesses. And this one goddess just walks through, and God walks in, and he just has this little apple. People, an ordinary apple, not a gold apple, not an apple made of pure gold, just an apple. Says, this apple to the fairest goddess of all. And there all the gods start fighting over a lousy apple. That's all you had to say. A little old nothing town apple for the fairest goddess of all, and you have all the chaos in the heavens among the gods and goddesses. That's all it takes. And then pretty soon you've got strife. And generally, it's not going to be worked out. Okay, so strife comes from jealousy. This is how it works. First of all, people, please understand this. Very important. First thing I want you to always understand about spiritual love is that it creates an environment first in your own soul. And we've studied that. Love is long-suffering. That's inside. Love is kind. That's what comes out because you are long-suffering. Love is jealous. That's inside. The first place you're going to experience strife is in your own soul. You're going to experience a turmoil and a strife with these other people or the person or whatever it might be. And there's strife. You're jealous. So that first thing is here. And then it's got to play itself out. And so there's going to be overt strife. But what I want you to begin to see is the environment that love creates in your soul and the environment that jealousy creates in your soul. So that when you are jealous, you know you're in the flesh. You're going to get back over here in spiritual love. All right. Among you, jealousy and strife among you. All right, that's what's going to happen. So from the flesh self comes the jealousy. From the jealousy comes strife. The flesh self feels threatened that others have some advantage or even a perceived advantage. Or just a perceived advantage. That's why some people involved in all of this stand back, somebody with just some common sense. What's the deal? Why are we fighting here? What's going on? It's like you would have somebody in the gods and goddesses would have been smarter and said, what's the big deal about an apple? Why are we fighting this? I'll go get y'all a whole crate of apples. What are we doing here? But it doesn't matter now because it's created in your soul and the strife is going to work its way out among you. Okay, so first of all, inside, you perceive another has an advantage. Then it resents that others have this advantage or perceived advantage. Add to that the attitude of dissatisfaction with what I have. Because I ought to have what they have. So now, people creeping into your spiritual life, I'm not satisfied with where I am. Whenever, let's just take a foolish thing. Now, I know for young people it isn't so foolish, but it is foolish when you start getting wisdom. And that is, you know, I'm jealous of the way that person looks. That means you're not satisfied with the way you look. Because they look better. So you're not satisfied. And that means you're going to have all this kind of problem with yourself and God, spiritually, all these types of things. Well, if you walk in the new man in spiritual life, be the most beautiful, most wonderful, richest person, whatever, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. Because love knows its own place with God. So jealousy, envy causes the person that is you to feel threatened by the advantage of others or apparent or you perceive the advantage and therefore cause a great deal of trouble. Now, let's go from here to James chapter 3. Let's go from here to James chapter 3. is to pick up a lot of these things and not spend a whole lot of time anywhere. We're going to refer these passages periodically just to get the aspects of jealousy and envy and spiritual love. And so let's take a look at James chapter 3, and let's begin reading in James chapter 3 at verse 13. James chapter 3, verse 13. Okay. Who among you, so we're dealing with assembly again and believers, who among you is wise? Sophia, Sophos, wise. That's where we get the word sophomore. Sophomores always think they've got it all down. Sophomores, they got it all known and they've understood. Freshman, sophomore, hey, I got this down now. I got it all figured out. So that's the wise. And understanding. Okay. Spiritual understanding, you think. It refers to believers. That's the doctrine in the soul. Who among you is wise and understanding? That's very difficult. A lot of people think they're wise. And then you look at the decisions they make in life. Not too wise. They may know a lot. There's a difference between knowing and wisdom. Wisdom is making the right decisions with what you know. Okay, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show, show or demonstrate. Let him show or demonstrate, and it's in the imperative. Now, there are two ways now to demonstrate. The two ways that you can demonstrate that you are wise. And we're going to look at that. So, let's take a look now. Now it says, by his good behavior, let him show or demonstrate by his good behavior. Then it says, and the second, his deeds. All right, let's first of all go by his good behavior. Okay, first of all, we have to know what good behavior is. We have to know what good behavior is. Now, let's take a look. What is good behavior? Oh, I know what good behavior is. Good behavior is when you obey the law. Good behavior is when you're a good little boy and a good little girl. That's good behavior. Now, good behavior, we study this thing through and work our way through Scripture. Good behavior, people, is the Spirit-filled life. Now, how can I say that? Well, you just threw it out there and didn't give anything to back it up. You want something to back up that good behavior is the Spirit-filled life, and I'll even go one better than that for you. Not only is it the Spirit-filled life, it is namely, spiritual love flowing through you. Boy, I've really stuck my foot out there now. Let's see if I can support what I'm teaching you. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Hold your place. We're coming right back. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're studying spiritual love. I want you to see how powerful this thing is. Spiritual love. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 4, love is long-suffering. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love is not arrogant. Verse 5. Love does not act unbecomingly. Okay, act. That's what we're talking about, behavior. And when we get there, I'll show you all of this. But does not act unbecomingly is your behavior. And what is going to determine my behavior? Interaction between believers. How you treat one another. How you treat your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, friends, romance, all these things. If you have spiritual love, your behavior is good, which means you will not act unbecomingly, which means, people, you will not wrongfully hurt another believer. especially an unbeliever too, but you will not wrongfully hurt. So if you are hurting someone in life, whatever way you're hurting them, and it's wrong, what you're doing is you're in the flesh. Because spiritual love does not act unbecoming. It's good behavior. That's what spiritual love is. How do you know spiritual love? The way we behave with one another. The way we behave and interact with other believers in family, work, social life, wherever we are. Okay, let's go back to James now. I just wanted you to see good behavior. Let him demonstrate by his good behavior. Overt manner of life. People, love acts. Love is not stagnant, it's a force. It does not act. It does not sit stagnant. It is a force between two objects. You truly love someone, you can't act unbecomingly around them. If you're acting unbecomingly, let me tell you something, you do not love them in spiritual love. So, a lot of times you have men controlling their wives and not acting becomingly, good behavior, even between a husband and wife. Guess what? Doesn't love her. He's totally occupied with flesh self. Flesh self cares about number one and nobody else. I want to be satisfied. I want what I want. That's why it has to control. When it gets jealous, it has to control. Get this out. Get this. Take care of that. Straighten everything out. I'm in control. That's what jealousy does. What love does is, doesn't have to do that. It will not act unbecomingly. It will not do that to another believer. So, he will show that he is wise by his action. Maybe you can look at some people, and you can't say a person is stupid. They may be brilliant. What you can say is, they're not wise. And some very brilliant people have done some very unwise things in life throughout history. So, This is not talking about being stupid or ignorant. It's talking about not being wise. So let him who is wise and has understanding of how he should act, how he should not act. Okay, by his good behavior, overt activity in regard to one another. And then it says, by his deeds. What are the deeds? Deeds are the manifestation. Deeds are what comes out of all of this. Now, people, I just took you to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a subject of love, and showed you this. How love is going to act and not act. It is not going to act unbecomingly. This is the subject matter of all of 1 John, the first epistle by John, 1 John. His subject matter is love. Look at 1 John chapter 3. I'm just picking one little place in the epistle of 1 John to show you again. A few pages on toward the back, you'll come to it. A few pages in toward the back, 1 John chapter 3. Verse 13. Do not marvel, believer, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. We love one another. People, don't say you love a believer when you're acting, your behavior is not becoming, when your behavior is not good behavior for their benefit. Don't claim you love the Lord either, because where you are is in the flesh, and the flesh does not love the Lord. The flesh has one Lord, that's itself. The flesh has one person it wants to please, that's itself. Only the new spiritual man seeks to please God. The flesh seeks to please itself. So, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren, other believers. He who does not love abides in death. Okay, what is he saying? Not saying that you're not saved. Over here, you're dead, people. You resemble that which is dead, the spiritual, or the flesh person dead. You resemble death when you're maltreating another believer. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Oh, wow, look. You commit a murder, you're not going to heaven. No. Who commits murder? The flesh commits murder, people. And the flesh is not going to inherit eternity. It can't. It's going to die. It's dead. It's going to be left behind. Can a Christian commit murder and still go to heaven? Yes, the new man. That's why I'm trying to show you, people, if another believer hurts you in some way, the first thing you want to remember, first thing you want to remember is walk in the Spirit. But what you want to recall, this isn't the person I'm going to spend eternity with. This is a flesh person. Doesn't excuse what they did. It helps you. This is not the person I'm going to be in eternity with. That was their flesh person. This is the person you're going to be in eternity with. Let that guide you in dealing with them. Okay, verse 16. We know love, and that's what our subject is, by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's how far I'll go. I'll lay down my rights. I'll lay down my desires. I'll lay these things down. In a broad sense, it does include laying down your physical life. But how many Christians in church age have been called upon to lay down their life for another believer? Not very many. So, since you don't have to lay down your life, 1 John 3:16 doesn't apply to you. Wrong. What do you mean to lay down your life? I have certain rights in my life. There are certain things that I can do. But if it hurts another believer, I'll lay that down. If it will wrong, not wrong in the sense of sin, but if it will destroy, Romans chapter 13, if it will destroy another believer, I'll lay that down. I'll lay down advantages that I have in my life. I'll lay down my life for the restoration, the spiritual momentum of another believer. That's what we're dealing with. This is what love will do. A lot of times people want to deal with right and wrong, and then like if it's right, it's okay. No, you're not under something even higher than that. We're under something higher than that. Talk to a person not long ago. Okay, I have a right to continue doing this. And he had been talking with other preachers and people, and they all said, no, it's sin, it's wrong, it's this or that. And he knew it wasn't sin, what we were talking about. And he was holding on tenaciously. And I boggled his mind because of me. I said, you're right. You are absolutely right. You have every right to continue. And his countenance kind of, okay, where's the punchline? You have every right. You are right. According to law, according to those things, you're right. You can continue. But now let's look at love. Let's see what love will do. Love says, yes, I have the right, but I'll lay it down if it's going to hurt and destroy another Christian, another believer. So I'll lay it down. That's what love does, people. It cares about the other to the point that it'll do whatever it has to. Yes, it's epitomized in Jesus Christ laying down his life for us because that's what it took. What's it going to take for you not to hurt another believer? What are you going to have to lay down? Some privilege, some right, something that you've got. And you're absolutely right. You do not have to, but love will lay it down. I'll lay down my life's rights, I put it that way. The rights that I have in my life before God, but I'll lay them down if it's going to hurt another believer. Wrongfully. We're not having people control us by this. But we're clearly it's going to destroy their spiritual life, we lay it down. Every one of you hates your brother's murder. No, verse 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. Verse 17. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother, and it's interesting, not just an unbeliever, but his brother, another believer, in need, and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? It doesn't abide there. You see somebody in need, and it just could be any subject that we want here because it doesn't define it. It just says, has the world's goods and beholds his brother in some kind of a need. No, under law, you don't have to do that. But under the law of love, we do. And that's the one that we're under. Little children, let us not love with words, nor with tongue, but in deed. Oh! Now, what's our passage in James? What are we talking about? In our passage in James, it said deed. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by good behavior. I told you how that's from spiritual love. By his deeds. Now look at our passage. Right here. Little children, let us not lust. Little children, you know what this means? It means as you grow, you should already have this well down in your soul. This is something, this is like that milk starting to build. This is a basic. This is a basic about love. Oh, I love the Lord and I love God. How can you say that when you're hurting believers? Or you see believers in need and you're not doing anything about it that are in your peripheral. You don't have to go out and solve all the world's problems. I'm not saying that. But sees his brother, sees a believer close in assembly or somewhere close, and you don't care. How can you say you love the Lord, oh, but I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing that, while you're hurting and destroying believers right at home? No, people, you don't love God. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you're doing. It's not what love's about. They had the movie Opus, I think it was. He was a music teacher in high school. Cared so much about those kids in school. Boy, man, what devotion. Wow, what commitment. Wow, he cares about them. At home, total neglect. Doesn't love their people. We take this to the spiritual realm. You say you love, and yet, right in the area you're destroying. So don't say that you love. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue. Oh, I love the Lord, and I love people. But indeed, and in truth. Okay, let's go back to James. Let's go back to James and see where we are now. His deeds, that is the action. And then it says, in the gentleness of wisdom. Okay. Gentleness of wisdom. Anybody here remember the source of gentleness? The fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness is the fruit of the Spirit. Where are we? We're right back with spiritual love, people. We're right back with the spiritual life. You're not going to do any of these things without spiritual love. Spiritual love will do this in gentleness. This is a very important word to God. What did we see in Galatians chapter 6? We won't turn there. What do we see in Galatians 6:1? Restore. Anyone who touches his brother in sin, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. You loser. You bum. You're no good. No. You make it as easy as you can for them to get back in the spirit of their life and walk that way. You make it as easy as you possibly can. That means you don't go tell anybody. You don't go talk to people. You talk to them. You make it very easy to just move right into the spiritual life, people. Gentleness. Gentleness. Not judgment, not harsh, but gentleness. Okay, verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy. Okay? This is our word, zealous. James adds a qualifying descriptive adjective. Bitter. Bitterness. Boy, if jealousy isn't bad enough, if the hottest green pepper from Mexico isn't hot enough, and you put Tabasco sauce on top of that, you're into some really good acid indigestion, if you can even get it down that far. This means, people, not only do you have this corruption of bitterness, it's bitter. It's bitter. It is going to cause as much strife as it can and as much destruction as it can. But if you have bitter jealousy. Okay, you're back in the flesh. Not any of these things going on in the spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you have bitter jealousy. So the jealousy here, perfect here for, it's in contrast to what? It's in contrast to the production of the spiritual life of spiritual love. What does spiritual love do? Spiritual love, good behavior between you and another person. gentleness, all these wonderful things that come. But if you're not here, then over here, let me tell you what you're going to look like. And what you're going to look like, bitter jealousy. Now, in the definition and description, it's to be aware of the fact that jealousy, bitterness, or jealousy and envy, these things, are inside your soul. No one knows, people, listen, no one knows whether you're jealous or envy or not. They don't know. But you know because of the strife in your own soul. The syndrome of jealousy inside of the believer, and then it will slowly come out into the overt. It will come out. Talking about stress, depression. Many people are brought down over jealousy in their soul of other people. They're jealous of what other people have. And they're never going to have a happy day in their life. Now, what am I going to do as a pastor? Get in here and work on correcting jealousy. Let me give you 10 ways to beat jealousy. Let's work on it. Let's do this and let's do that. People, I'd be wasting my time because the flesh is corrupting all the time. It's continually being corrupted. It is wicked. It is mortally wounded. It's insane. All the things that we saw in Scripture, all the tragedies, what we need to do is very simple. Now, it's not simple and it's going to take time for the result, but you get over here and let God take care of it. Let God walk, you walking in the new man. This is what we need to do as a solution to what's going on. But there's a syndrome of jealousy inside of the believer. And it's going to create an environment inside of the believer. It's going to create, first of all, it just builds and builds and builds people. You can't believe the cancer that jealousy is and what it'll do to a marriage. What it'll do to a local church. What it'll do in a family. What it'll do in a local church and in life. When you're jealous of other people, it will eat you away. It will destroy you. Solution. Work hard on jealousy? No. The solution, get back into spiritual love. Because spiritual love is not jealous. And spiritual love will not act unbecomingly. And spiritual love will actually even seek the good of people. That over here you're jealous of, over here, you lay down your life for them. People, I want you to see the unbelievable contrast. Over here, you lay, here's a good way. Over here, you lay their life down. Over here, you lay your life down for them. That's the difference. For the very same person that over here you want to lay their life down for, you lay your life down for over here. That very same person. And what we want the world saying is, how can you do that? How can you do that? What's your secret, Samson? What's your secret, Christian? And our secret is, spiritual love, loving is Christ's love. It's not my love, it's not your love, it's the love of Christ, given to us by the Holy Spirit. This is the way Christ loves. So, I hope you can grasp why Paul picked jealousy first here. So, life, when we're jealous, envious, all the things that it does, creates an environment. So, spiritual love creates an environment in our soul, people. It creates an environment in your soul. And that environment in your soul is not to be jealous. Not to be jealous, not to be envious of what others have. God can bless others. God can prosper others. And I'm even going to say Satan can. But you know what? You're not going to judge it, and you're not going to be jealous of it. Oh, yeah, well, they just did that, Satan doing that to tempt them or test them or whatever. Like that, write it off that. That's not spiritual love. It doesn't matter. Of God or of Satan, you're protected. When we walk in spiritual love. So this becomes something powerful. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Okay, note over here, it's all dealing with others. You see the difference in verse 13? It's others. Good behavior regarding to others, deeds regarding to others. But over here, it's all me. Selfish ambition. It's all inside of me. Occupied with me. 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 Do you know, there are people, when they think about themselves, they really get depressed. If they stop thinking about themselves and they think about others, they're not thinking about their problems. But boy, when we're thinking about ourselves, flesh, people, please understand, as horrible as this sounds, and I hope this is becoming clear to you, selfish ambition, that sounds so horrible, but it's just common to the flesh person. That's what the flesh does. The flesh cares about itself. That's your clue. I'm in the flesh. I'm in this old nature. That's what it does. Is it sin? Yes. But let's go beyond that. I want you to think. Be wise. All that's happening is I'm in the flesh. Because that's what the flesh does. It seeks its own. Spiritual love does not seek its own. In fact, that's exactly what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. Love seeks not its own. It has no selfish ambition. Its ambition, if anything, is for Christ. But this over here, the flesh person inside of us, it has a selfish ambition. It's me, my wants, my desires, my lust, my money, my image, my power, my this, my that. Me, selfish ambition. So this is what comes from it, a selfish ambition. Now, do you all have the NASB, the American Standard? In the margin, in the New American Standard, you'll note the word strife, eurythia. It introduces something we noted and will note again, that jealousy produces rivalry. Selfish ambition, but if you'll note in the margin, it's really strife again. Just as we saw where? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What follows with jealousy? Strife. People, you can count on it. Do you hear me? You can count on it. If you want to be a wise person, if you want to be a wise person and you see some jealousy, you can stand back and say, you can act like you're really a philosopher. I philosophize that there's going to be some strife here. Ooh, how did you figure that out? Because when it happens, you know, you're real smart. No, I just know what jealousy does. I just know. That's what happens. That's the characteristic of jealousy. It's got to cause strife because maybe then it'll boost what? It'll boost us. Because what's jealousy? If somebody, you feel threatened because somebody else is what? Somebody else is praised or something. So the flesh self feels threatened and it has what? It has this ambition. It's going to cause strife. All I just, if I can't get it, I'll just cause strife and nobody's going to get it. I'm just going to cause strife. People, it flows. They go together. Jealousy, strife. That's the only way you know how to handle it. Let's go, if you want to take a flow through the Bible of Satan, strife in the garden. Everywhere he goes, where he's got jealousy working, he gets strife. Everywhere he functions, where he's jealous, strife. In a marriage, in a home, in a local church, between people. This is destructive jealousy. To be in the flesh self, you can count on jealousy, and if you can count on jealousy, you can count on strife between believers, first in your own soul, and then between believers, and you sit back and you like it. You like it. Boy, I really put that person down. I really did this. Nobody's praising you, but you've taken down the person that threatened you. So, this is what it'll do. People feed on this all through their life. So there's a principle. Under the definition description, you said, we need to know that jealousy produces strife. It produces rivalry. Rivalry. That's my rival now. My goodness, that's your husband, ladies. That's your wife, man. That's your wife. You get jealous? Strife. Rivalry. Is that what you want? Is that the environment you want in the marriage? You're going to get it. And all through your life. If that's what you want. No, I don't like it. But I don't know what to do about it. It just eats me up. God, jealousy just comes in and just eats me up. And I can't sleep. I'm jealous and all of this. People, what are we going to do about that? We're going to move over to the new man. We're not going to go in here and try to clean up this garbage dump. I'm not going to go in here and clean up this garbage dump here, people. I can't. And let me tell you something, no one can. Sigmund Freud has all of the defense mechanisms all outlined, and yeah, and whenever he breaks through, all the way through of psychology come through, and all of this, compare it with Sigmund Freud. Because it's just basically what he did was lay down all the defense mechanisms that he understood in the psychic of the mind of the flesh. Let's go through and work on it. Let's see what we can do to help you control the jealousy. Let's see how we can work on the jealousy. It's an endless battle. And that's why Sigmund Freud rightfully said, this is the most ingenious thing he ever said. If you don't like him, appreciate one thing he said. You never cared. You've got to come and give me $50 for the rest of your life. You've got to do that. The rest of your life, you come and do that. $50 every week. You come see me next week, it still works. 30 years later, you come give me $75. It went up now, inflation. I'm getting old. I need more. Never going to be cured. Never. Is it going to be cured? You're going to keep working on it. Come over here and spit the life. Spiritual love is not jealous. It is not envious. It will not cause strife in your own soul. It will give you peace. People, this is the best thing I can do for people, is teach what we do on Wednesday night. This is the most important class. I'm dealing with depression, stress, all the things that people go through. Live over here. Get over here. When you've had enough of this, just move over here. It'll take time. This isn't an overnight thing. But you walk over here, the more you walk in here, you start realizing, I'm not jealous. I'm not as jealous, and I'm not this, and this is happening. You start seeing things happen in your own soul, and what is this called? You're drawn to pray. Thank you, Father, because I didn't do this. I didn't pay $350 a month. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I didn't work on it. I didn't take medicine. I didn't do that. What I did was, I let you do it. And you've done it, and you're doing it, and I praise you, Father. I already see the results. I praise you. This is the best thing I can give you. It's to walk in the newness of life. Walk in who you really are. Because this is who you really are. That's what's amazing. You're walking what you really are here. Over here, you're not. So over here, you're just struggling not only all of the problems of the flesh, you're struggling the flesh, which isn't you. And so it just turns into a horrible, horrible mess. So jealousy is going to produce rivalry, conflict, strife. That's why I drew your attention if you had the New American Standard. Strife on the side, rivalry. Strife in your marriage. First in your own soul, then in your marriage, then in your home, at work, at the local church, your social life, whatever. It'll eat you up, people. It's an incurable cancer. You got to come over here to what is not jealous, and that is spiritual love. Now, if you have bitter jealousy and rivalry or strife in your heart, okay, do not be arrogant. Let's look at our verse. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, that's where you really are, people. That's who you are, the heart. Do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Okay. Do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. Okay. Remember, first of all, that what? Love is not arrogant. We haven't come there yet. They've come after boasting. Love is not arrogant. So we know that love is the answer to that. Spiritual love will prevent this. The only problem, this isn't the word for arrogance. This isn't the Greek word for arrogance here. It's not what we have. The word here is the word, get ready, boasting. Boasting. Why is it translated arrogant? Because arrogant people boast. But the word, I want to take you to write what it's saying, boasting. And I want to do that for several reasons. First of all, because that's the truth of the text. But also, the next thing we're going to see in spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13 is, Love is not envious or jealous. Love does not boast. So it's going to take care of this problem. Do not boast. Do not be boastful. It's really what you have going on here, people. The word is boasting. And spiritual love does not brag or is not boast. So, no matter which way you want to take this, spiritual love is going to be our answer and prevention. This is why spiritual love is a superior way of life. Spiritual love is loving others as Christ loved you. Spiritual love is the great alchemizer of all Christian elements. It's the immune system. Do not boast. It's really interesting how we boast when it calls to strife and the jealousy. It's a very strong thing of the flesh to boast because it doesn't want to take the blame, so it boasts. And note what it says. Boast and so lie. In other words, the lying goes in the boasting. You're in denial. You're in denial. And you lie. You lie. Oh, I'm not jealous. Oh, I didn't cause this strife, or if I did, it wasn't based on anything like that. You boast that you're good. You boast that what you're doing is right. And you lie. You lie. So now you compounded the problem. You compounded the work on the soul, the heart, who and what you really are. And now it's really getting ugly in there. It's really getting garbage. Things to have, you're going to have to deal with. So now it started off with this jealousy that went to rivalry and strife. And now you're boasting. So you've added to it and you lie. This is another environment of jealousy. Great environment of jealousy is lying to the other person. The other person has something, some advantage. You're threatened. You become jealous. They are your rival, and so you just lie. You're lying. Oh, I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I don't care about that. You're lying. You do care. You're deceiving yourself. You care, and that's why you started the strife. Why you started it. But you're lying. And as long as we lie to ourselves, guess what? We deceive ourselves. We're not going to acknowledge the truth here. We're never going to go back to faith and be restored by simply trusting. 1 John 1:8, the problem is they're in denial. Therefore, what they've got to do is acknowledge. Acknowledging and confessing do not restore you. But until you do that, you will not be restored by faith. If you just sit there and lie, I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous, and what I did was right, and And there's this strife, and there's this jealousy, and there's this rivalry going on in the church, in the home, wherever it might be, business, whatever it may be. Okay, so do not boast and lie. Environment of jealousy is what? It's rivalry, strife. It's boasting. It's lying. All of this starts to combat. And we wonder why people have messed up souls over here and why it's hard for them to order a cup of coffee. All of this is going on in your soul. And what are we going to do? Get in here and clean this all out? Or we're going to move over here. Spiritual love will clean it all out. Spiritual love will take care of it. So, begin to see why Paul mentions jealousy first. Love envious not. Love is not jealous. Because jealousy is the environment of strife. And then it goes rivalry and boasting and lying. It just goes on and on. What's the environment of spiritual love? Truth. Truth. Love and truth. This is what's going on here. So this is what we have. Well, I've gone way over and I didn't realize it. We will pick it up here. Wednesday evening, and just continue through. Hope this is making sense to you. Love envieth not, and why Paul makes it the first negative. The first negative that he makes, and that's no mistake. It's fundamental to the spiritual warfare, fundamental to the flesh nature, and love is the answer. Love is the cure. Love is the solution. And that's what we want to see. Probably going to word of prayer. Wow, Heavenly Father, what a God you are. Father, we studied through Job. Who can be clean? Who is unclean? Who can be righteous? Who is unrighteous? No one. Who can make them? No one. But you can. You do. This is what you do. And Father, you do this by pouring into our new man your love. And that love manifests itself in so many wonderful ways between believers. We praise you for the God that you are. The unbelievable genius of giving us spiritual love. The unbelievable genius of how that love just wipes out so many of our daily problems. If we just walk in the power of your Spirit, if we just let your love flow through. Father, we praise you for the God you are. You didn't say work hard at it, something we've got to work at. You did it all. And all we have to do is walk by faith. We praise you, Father. Thank you for those that came tonight. Pray you'll give them a safe drive home in this weather. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.